It seemed like everybody want to be a boss these days. Everybody want to be a boss till it's time to pay out, you feel me? Till it's time to pay that boss cost. They ain't trying to have them tough conversations. Ain't trying to put in them extra hours, catching that windfall money, dealing with folks not being consistent. Don't get me started on the lack of sleep, but you know what they say.
Boss Life, B-O-S-S-F-E-S-T, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right. B-O-S-S-F-E-S-T, the Boss Fest Podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe. Tune in, catch the topic, get the tea. Ain't no shallow waters over here, we get deep. You sensitive, easy to offend, you need to flee. But them tough conversations gonna be happening. Boss Fest Podcast, they hold it down. Wednesday, 7 Eastern, man, it's going down. Tell a friend, and y'all gather round. Get active in the comments, don't get lost in the crowd.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man, DJ Bush. I had to show love to Kevin and Edwina, Boss Fest Butler. Y'all know what time it is, the Boss Fest Podcast. But you already know what we live in.
Boss Life, B-O-S-S-F-E-S-T, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right.
What's up? Welcome again to the Boss Fest Podcast. How y'all doing today? I am Kevin.
And I'm Edwina.
And we in this bit. Listen, y'all been following us for a while. Y'all know we typically have a topic that we talk about and we'll post it on the book or we'll put it on our socials. Sometime between what we think about it and when the show starts, right?
Because normally I feel like we'd be working on Monday, Tuesday. We'd be very last minute with it.
So today we are extremely last minute because as you see, all it was question marks. And my wife, she was at me. She's like, hey, babe, what's the topic for today? What's the topic for today? And I don't know. Like, we got to talk about something. I said, well, we're going to get in there. We're going to talk about something. And so, as I was just now processing everything this minute, I just find myself in a place of, I'm going to say this is my fourth quarter reflection. We want to call it that topic, then that's what, this is my fourth quarter reflection. I'm thinking about the past three quarters, how we came into this piece, coming off of a Boss Fest event. As y'all see, we back up, lights on, everything like that. We just survived Hurricane Milton. For any of our people out there that's out of the state, that storm was a little scary. It was a loud storm. If you've never been through a hurricane before, it was that. But it was like, man, how did the first three quarters go for us, and how are we ready to go into Q4? Like, this is the time where you need to be preparing yourself for what Q1 looks like. At this point in the game, you should have already know, did you win or did you lose? And if you lost, how can you now minimize your loss going into the new quarter? Or if you're winning, how can you build upon it and maximize it going into the new quarter? So that way it's a sustainable result. So I switched it over to my wife. How do you feel like your first three quarters?
Wait, you did all that to say you came up with that topic, but you're going to ask me about it?
I'm asking you, how did you feel about our first three quarters as a business, as a family? Because, you know, there's a lot of changes happening within our space. So I'm asking you, how did you feel?
All right, let's talk about it from a business standpoint. From a business standpoint, I felt like we didn't go as hard as we should have gone in 2024. From a business standpoint, I felt like we let other things take precedence and we could have seen more wins in our business, but we let our personal life overshadow that.
Sometimes life be life.
I feel like it completely was. Sometimes it's a season for certain things, and early in 2024, we were in a certain season for things, so we weren't as focused on our business. But when I reflect back through the year, as we're now in fourth quarter, I do feel like, hey, if I would have applied pressure at this moment, I think we'd be a lot further in business than we are right now. You asked me, and that's my answer.
I understand. I'm happy that you provided your answer. So I guess for me, the first three quarters were, they were ups and downs. And I definitely agree, personal things came into play. And I think that happens in anything in life. Sometimes those personal things can either be good things or bad things. I think it was a little bit of both. We had a lot of great things that happened in our first three quarters, personal-wise, you know, daughter graduating out of high school, experiencing those things, entering college for the first time, you know, that type of development, you know, watching her transition into adulthood, that was huge for us. And just now, just being able to take a step back, a slight step back, because we still got another one that we got to raise and get him to the finish line. Oh, I don't even say the finish line. I'm going to say the starting line. It's our job as parents to get our kids to the new starting line. So making sure that they're ready to run that race. And I felt like for our personal development, we did our thing. Opportunities along the way, but we did our thing. Business-wise, we definitely had to take step backs, but I think it was worth taking those step backs to make sure that personal developments played out the way they needed to. So I'm ecstatic. I know we closed out Boss Fest last week ago, and I can already see the new things that can turn out for Boss Fest as we go into 2025.
Has it only been a week? It feels like 2 weeks.
Maybe it's two. It's 2 weeks. Okay. No, it's a week and a half.
So this weekend will be 2 weeks.
Yes, this weekend will be 2 weeks.
It makes sense. It just felt longer than that to me. But go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, so I'm just optimistic for what Q1 of 2025 brings for us. But I know we have to start building that now, because we can't go into Q1 saying, okay, what are we going to do for Q1? We have to get to work now.
Got to get to work now. So let me ask you this. Some of the things that you went through in this particular year, do you feel like your personal life suffered for your business life?
I feel like my personal life has been suffering ever since we said we're going to start doing business, and just navigating through those challenges that, you know, keeps people in the game. I see now why they say only a small percentage of people stay in business or become those entrepreneurs and things of that nature, because chasing the bag seems easy. It's the other stuff that goes along with chasing the bag that becomes a conflict of interest. Friendships, relationships, things of that nature, personal interactions, you know, your own hobbies, even some of the things, you know, you used to just like to do for leisure. You know, you got to redirect yourself at times. And like, I just think about from a financial standpoint, like the money invested into different things, and like, man, what could we have done with that additional X amount of thousands of dollars that we invested into a business that, you know, either is producing results or not producing results? But what could we have done differently with that? Could we invested it? Could we spunt it on some other stuff? And at the end of the day, it's always money is just money. It's going to come. It's going to go. You got to be able to enjoy the things that you want to do in life. And money is the gateway to that. Broke people don't have fun. Put it on the shirt.
So, oh my God, here you go with the shirt. So let me ask you this, because I feel like for you, you saying money is a different sentiment than what I normally hear from you. But I see a lot of entrepreneurs now going back to work. So we're like in quarter four, and a lot of people are saying, man, it's time to get a job. Like, the economy isn't economying like it was when those COVID checks was dropping.
That's the word we're going to say. The economy isn't economying. I feel like I'm going to get my car painted.
Economying?
Whatever the car paint company is, whatever.
Whatever. Something. I don't know. Nonetheless, a lot of people, there's just not as much money, or the perception is there's not as much money out there as it was, especially when we were getting, you know, like the COVID money and the PPP loan money. You know, people were freely spending in that era. And now with things getting higher and I mean, everything's costing more money. Everybody, everything's higher, but people's paychecks. So I see that several entrepreneurs are now going back into the workforce. What's your thoughts on it?
I don't think that's a bad play at all. So in business sometimes, especially trying to become that entrepreneur, it's almost like a narrative put out there as if like, oh my God, if you have a job as an entrepreneur, you're somehow failing. But I want to change that narrative. That's why we know we're shifting our brand as it relates to our businesses and things of that nature. Just because you got a 9-to-5 doesn't mean you're failing. You gotta have something that feeds the dream, right? And I know we're going to be launching different things in Q1 as we, you know, really deliver our message about Boss Fest to people. But I don't think it's a bad play at all. Like, I'm not dissatisfied with my 9-to-5 right now. It pays our lifestyle. It's a decent job. There are certain times where, you know, work becomes very demanding, but for a good portion of the year when things were going okay, you know, I had a lot of flexibility to adjust and adapt and do
different things. I feel like your work life is always just very hectic. It feels like you got to travel here or go here. Like, I don't feel like it's never not demanding.
So for me, that doesn't feel demanding. Like, to me, those things feel like, I'm not going to say luxuries, but I think that's the flexibility of having this type of role that I have. A lot of people just stuck between they same four walls every day when they go into a
business. I don't feel like traveling is a luxury.
Like, traveling is a big luxury.
Wait a minute. Let me preface that. I don't feel like traveling for your business is a luxury.
You mean traveling for my 9-to-5
is a luxury? Traveling for your 9-to-5.
We're going to define it that way.
For your 9-to-5 company, I don't feel like that's a luxury.
I will say that I have been able to kind of manipulate the places that I go, which has given me opportunities to reconnect with family and past friends and step in a certain interact in certain business ventures in the entrepreneur space. So I've been able to, you know, enjoy the traveling. So I'm not going to take nothing away from it. I enjoy it. But I think, listen, everybody isn't going to be that serial entrepreneur. And if your business grows to that point, that's great. But some people just want that side hustle. So if something happens in their 9-to-5 space, they're not without. And that's what I want to start trying to connect with those individuals through our brand and through our company. It's like, hey, you 9-to-5er, I get it.
So you feel like everybody needs a side hustle?
I feel like everybody should have some type of side hustle. If you got something that can generate an additional $20,000 to $30,000 a year, listen, figure that. Let me rephrase that. If you have a talent or a skill set that you can do that can produce you an additional $20,000 to $30,000 a year, capitalize on it. It's a lot of people who got real jobs and stuff, but maybe they need to do a couple of heads on the weekend because they know how to do hair or lashes and things of that nature.
So in today's economy, do you feel like people can survive without a side hustle?
I don't think, like, people can't survive having two jobs right now. So you definitely need to get you a side hustle. Like, everybody should find something that's going to generate that additional funding. Everybody. I think going and doing two jobs is tough because now you don't give yourself the ability to even enjoy life. All you're doing is working to pay bills, right? But at least if you're doing something on the side that you enjoy, you love, and you can kind of control the narrative, then it's a different play. Like, there's some people out there.
So let's talk about the side hustle.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of different side hustles. I know you said about somebody doing hair and you could do a couple heads. I think people automatically go to, like, people braiding hair or, you know, whatever as, ooh, that's a side hustle because, girl, you can get me in on the weekends.
Or cooking some food and stuff. But I don't
think everybody should cook no plates. So let's not throw that out there.
Can actually cook. But listen.
But everybody think they can actually cook. I just want to preface that before you be like, I'll cook in a plate. Everybody's house is not clean. All of y'all cannot cook a plate. Everybody can't buy crab legs and sell those. I don't know. If you feel like I'm talking to you, then I'm talking to you.
Ooh,
I'm
damn.
Just telling you,
ooh,
everybody cannot be selling plates out of their car. It can't happen. Some of us got to do, you know, like some drop shipping. We got to sell some stuff on the website. We got to do some other things. Like, people like candles. It's a lot of other things, and everybody can't sell.
So people need to make some soaps.
Soaps. I love a good soap. I'm just telling you, I don't want you to like be on here talking about like, and y'all start cooking.
I'm not saying that's, people got to start cooking. I'm just saying, hey, I think everybody should figure out what their side hustle is. And if you can, and if it can produce you an additional $20,000 to $30,000 a year, then I definitely feel like it's a good play. Like, think about it. If you could press shirts and you can create some designs.
Shirts is a good one.
Right. If you got a press, you know somebody with a press or whatever, whatever that hustle is, and you got a creative mind, you like to draw, you like to come up with designs either digitally, freehand or whatever, and you want to press a few shirts and stuff, and you know there's always somebody that needs a shirt, right?
So, yeah. I mean, let's support people. So what we're basically saying is we're in Q4 right now,
yep.
And the way the economy is looking, everybody needs a side hustle.
Everybody needs
a side hustle. So if everybody needs a side hustle, let's all start with a side hustle so we can survive.
Right.
My thought is let's turn the side hustle eventually into the main hustle, because we now understand like companies aren't paying us, and you know, our opinion, always what we're worth. Right. And you know, you go to that 9 to 5 and you get that raise. What that raise look like? 10, 20 cents, you know, per hour after, you know, a year evaluation.
Yeah, it's only a percentage of some dollars or some BS crap that makes no sense at all.
So, I mean, I think that's my, you know, like look back on, you know, as we're now in Q4 and as we go into, you know, getting prepared for what Q1 looks like, is I got to take care of me, because I don't feel like, you know, companies are really looking out for us. They're looking out for their bottom line. So if it's creating a side hustle so that way I can bring in more income to now flourish and take care of my family without this 9 to 5, that's what my goal is. But I know a lot of people don't have the same goal, but what we're really saying is it doesn't feel like in this economy, a lot of people can just do this off one income.
No. I think that days of having one stream of income is no more, right? Everybody got to figure out something, whether it's Uber, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. I don't know what that looks like for you. That's why I tell everybody, all of us have a talent that people will pay for us to do.
We all got a talent. So what's your talent that people going to pay for you to do?
I'm going to teach these people how to get this grant funding for those.
When you going to teach them?
When I get it all put together. Don't be coming at me. I'm working on myself.
I'm just wondering when we gonna learn about the grant.
Oh my God, this is me putting my stuff together in Q4. So Q1, I'm rest to go.
Q1. So now we got a launch date. Q1 is when we gonna learn about the grant.
I no longer want to actually do grants for people. Like, people don't understand the struggle behind that. And there's so much technology out there today that actually going and looking for a grant writer is almost outdated. But if people have like,
I ain't gonna say it's outdated now.
Oh, don't get me wrong. You need somebody who knows the inner workings, but it's almost like, think about it like blockbuster movies, right? Like, nobody's finna go and get a DVD or a VHS and put it in a device, then drive and take it back and rewind it and all that stuff. When they're now, you can just go digitally, click a button, and it's there, right?
Yeah, but that's not what grants are. So I want to
counter that. I'm okay. Talking about the fact of sometimes, you know, when you work with a grant writer, you know, it's, hey, they have to dig deep into your business, right? And it's always good to have that person there that can help you look through it and say, all right, based off what I see in your business, these are the things you need to work on so we can get you grant ready. So those are the things I want to start teaching and developing people to do. Number one, I want to help people get their business to the position where it can start being grant ready or grant eligible.
So this comment says, I have my grant proposal written, but I need help to understand the research and application process. So I want to counter what you said about the whole blockbuster process when you're talking about grants.
Okay
so yes, no one wants to go to the video store and rent the movie, rewind it, take the tape back. But let's be for real. We live in a world of convenience, and I don't equate the grant writing process to blockbuster. What I equate it to is, think about my house. Yes, I can clean my house myself, but it's tedious and I don't have the time to do it. So I'd rather hire someone to do that process for me.
A house
cleaner. So That's what I would equate me going out and looking for a grant writer as, because I could do it myself, but mm-hmm. I know the time it takes to do it. So I'd rather spend my money working in my business and hiring a grant writer to do that for me. So I think we have two different outlooks on what that is.
We do, but it's two different immediate expectations with it, right? So I'll use your analogy. So if you hire somebody, so if you use somebody to come clean the house, right? Once they leave, there should be a defined result that you can see immediately that indicates either they did their job or they didn't do their job.
Yes, it is. The grant is applied for, and I now can see the application process. It is not that I've been awarded money, because you have to understand what the process is. So you have to educate your client on what you've left with. So for instance, if someone's coming to clean my house and they say, oh, that bathroom had a do not enter sign. I don't expect it to be clean. I had a sign that said do not enter. But what I'm saying is, in the process, if
you
they
lost
know,
me.
Okay, I kind of did. I kind of felt like
you
I
did
lost a little bit.
It was just bad.
Let me bring it back, though.
It was so bad.
But the point that I'm saying is the grant writing process isn't as easy as I clean your house and I walk away from it and you can see it's clean. But what you can see is they have completed this process, because you can write a grant today that doesn't close for 2 months. Then the application or the vet process is another 2 months. Maybe we're not even awarding this grant for another 6 months. And that's what people have to understand. There's a patience in getting money. And people always, like, you hear people say, God don't show up when you want him, but he'll show up on time. So if you've done the process and your business is ready, you now got to wait. You got to wait that process time. When it's time for your money, it'll show up. So I just think, yes, you want to teach the grant process, but I think what you need to be saying is, I need to find the right client who understands the process and is ready to move forward.
No, I'm with it.
So this comment, just before you finish your next thought, it says, it's just setting clear expectations because your grant writer doesn't have authority over who is selected 100%, nor do they have authority on when that closes and when the award will be given. Because you'll be awarded, or the award will be announced today, and you still may not see that money for another 1 to 2 months. Like,
it's just different criterias, and that's part of the development piece that you write. Is making sure that the client or the clientele understands true expectations. But we live in a world now, in a society, where everybody wants immediate results. Nobody wants to go to the gym. They just want the pill or the shot that says, I'm skinny. I definitely want it because I want to get skinny too.
But you even have to think about that. The pill or the shot or the BBL, those still are not instant results. Those things are, they still take time.
BBLs be instant results.
They don't be instant results. Like, you got to go lay on that table. They going to suck the fat out. And you still got to have that faja on for another, 3 to 6 months before you start seeing a booty popping. So it's still not something that's instantaneous. But I understand what you're saying is, people want instant results right now. People don't want to put the work in. But I guess for us, as we're leaving Boss Fest, because I feel like there was a lot of gyms, so many gems that were dropped at Boss Fest that made me say I need to change the perspective of my own business. So as I go into Q1 and I start thinking about how I'm ending this year to start my next year, my grind has to be like, it has to be on point. Like, I got to be working in my business, and the people around me have to understand that I have a vision now. Like, I'm laser focused on what I need to achieve. So I think that, as we talked about being in personal life and hitting, allowing some of those personal things to kind of take over, I think that was the season for that. As we go into next year, I think the next season is growing our business and seeing the outcome or the fruits of our labor. That's where I am. And the people that I want to be surrounded by are those same people that are looking for what I'm looking for.
I'm with you. I just know, this Q4 is typically the time where most companies, they're looking at their bottom line revenue, and they're like, all right, how close are we to our goal? If we are at our goal, how can we pass it? How can we surpass it? How can we now set new expectations? The question is, for those people who didn't hit their goal or their expectations, Are you now finna give up, or are you finna refocus?
So that I feel like giving up is a crazy thing. Like, we got Black Friday, we got Christmas.
I'm talking about in business. Like,
right, but if you're talking about in business, especially if you're a business that sells a product or service, which, I mean, that pretty much encompasses all of us, like, Black Friday is one of the biggest shopping days. I can even say nonprofits. Like, this is now the season. So if you didn't do what you wanted to do, you should be using October to revamp. Like, you need to be dropping your Black Friday stuff early then. Like, you need to be ready to sell. We have the biggest giving day that happens in November for nonprofits. Are you ready to get your nonprofit out there to get that money? Like, if you didn't think that you did well Q1, 2, or 3, why are we giving up in Q4? Like, it is time to go. People are spending money, and people are spending money they don't have, but that don't mean you shouldn't get none.
I hear you, but think about it. So if you failed the first three quarters, you don't come out in quarter four like, all right, man, let's go ahead and try to win the game. Most people look at the score and be like, you know what? It's too far gone.
You just give up.
Ain't no point. We might as well just go ahead and call this a wash. Let the clock run out on this quarter and be ready to start the next game. Get ready for the next game. It's typically a sports analogy, but it's a lot of people that don't got that killer instinct. And I like to call it my Brady mode, right? Tom Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks, one of the greatest football players ever. 7 Super Bowl rings. Like, I understand, but what Brady did in some of these Super Bowls is unheard of, especially when you think about the game when he played against the Atlanta Falcons, even though people may not understand it.
Yeah, they were losing me even more.
I'm not. I'm just telling you, you know sports. You understand the score. If they only had 7 points on the board and the other team had 35 or whatever, going into the fourth quarter, most people don't think, oh, man, they finna come back and win. Let's try to put on some points. Most people will look around and be like, all right, that game is over. Let's go. The other team had already started celebrating. They was almost pulling out their shirts early, their hats, and starting to wham on the sideline like, oh, we finna be the champs. Brady said, no, lock in. Let's go. So, boom. And it wasn't about scoring. It was about completing the next play. Complete the next play. Complete the next play. Complete the next play. Oh, we scored. Good.
Okay, all right. I'm tracking now.
Right. So, it wasn't about trying to score. It was just about completing the next play. And I think that's what happens when we get into Q4 in this game, is that everybody thinks about, man, I need to win the game. They don't think about, man, let me just get a first down. And that's what we got to go into this mindset of. Listen, even when it seems like we're losing in Q4, we're losing in the fourth quarter, forget trying to win the game at that point. Think about getting the first down. Start building on something. And who knows? You may build on it so well to the point that now you got a chance to actually win the game. But if you don't win the game, at least you was able to start building on something. My analogy was going to get there. It was a great damn analogy, woman.
I mean,
just because you don't know
it was
sports,
a really good one that was lost on me. I'm just going to say
analogy.
That. But it was just delivered. It was lost on me a little bit.
But I got you.
You got me where I needed to be.
Thank you.
I mean, you could have used, it was good. We're just going to let you have it. It was good.
It was great. Gotcha.
So, coming off of Boss Fest that was almost 2 weeks ago, what do you feel like needs to be the direction that you take that brand going into Q1?
I'm talking about Boss Fest. I think the brand, we need to niche it down. People still don't know why they get in the room. And Brandon shot me. Shout out to him. We had a conversation with him the other day, and he kind of helped us figure out who we need to start targeting, right?
Man, if y'all don't know Brandon, y'all got to follow Brandon. He has some dope content, just all around cool dude, but go ahead.
Right. So he helped us figure out, man, who is our target audience? People still don't know. Why do I get in the room? Why do I get in the room? Why do I achieve Boss Fest? And for us, we didn't truly know how to deliver it. Even though we've been saying the message, we truly wasn't giving it that 1-2 punch that people need to feel. So that's why I'm saying, like, Q4 is the rebranding. Q1, we go and deliver. Like, man, Boss Fest is rebranding the message that we're getting to our clientele. It's a certain group of people that we need to niche down to. And that group of people is maybe those people that's that 9-to-5ers right now that's looking for their side hustle, that's ready to build it up. And then once they get to that point where they build a side hustle to their main hustle, then their main hustle be what brings their bread in, then, hey, we delivered our goal. But there's a lot of people right now who looking at their pocketbooks, looking at their bank account and saying, man, this one job ain't enough. And I don't necessarily have the time or the energy to go get a whole nother part-time job or a full-time job, but I would like to find ways to bring in additional income and funding. All right. That's what we kick in at Boss Fest. We're trying to talk to you. What it is that you do well that other people will pay for. And if that's going, you can clean a house and you don't mind sacrificing a couple of weekends out of your month. Maybe it's, hey, you build your clientele slow. Hey, I just need to do a couple. I just need to find two or three houses that I can charge $150 to come in there and clean their house on the weekend, not generate an additional $300 for that weekend or $400 for that weekend. I do that twice a month. Then you multiply that times, and all of a sudden you at 15K. You're like, damn, how did I get there so quick? Like, it's just those simple things. And as you start to become better at it and develop your skill set and your training, now what you can do is you can bring other people along, pay them a percentage. And you ain't even got to work no more, because now you done created the brand and the business yourself that you can say, all right, man, I need you to go. We're going to go over. You're going to go over here. I'm going to go over there.
I feel like you're preaching to us.
Listen, I'm just saying, it's grind season. Now, figure out what your hustle is. Do what you got to do. If you fixing plates, man, make sure your kitchen clean.
Oh, Lord. Listen, here you go back with the fixing the plates.
Because everybody in our community think they can cook, and I get it.
No, y'all, but they can't. They cannot.
You're not going to discourage these people who are trying to learn how to cook. Make sure you
learn how to cook, clean houses. Do not make plates. That's what I'm saying to you. People will get sick in these streets.
Man, press a shirt. Listen, if you know how to make desserts.
Press a shirt.
This is the season. This is dessert season.
Everybody
looking for some dang, some red velvet cake, some banana pudding. Everybody looking for some desserts coming into
Y'all, Kevin gonna preach to y'all. He wants y'all to get out here and get this bread.
I'm just telling you. It's ways to get this money that you don't really have to overexert yourself.
I think one of the biggest issues with when you're talking about getting money and you're trying to create your side hustle is finding your people, like finding your brand or your crowd, your whatever you want to call it.
Community, whatever you want to call it.
Community is a good word. I don't know. I couldn't think of community. Finding your community, because if you find your community and people will work for you, word of mouth will work with you. People will support you, and then they'll be happy to talk about your brand. But I think when you're first starting out at business, people find it hard to find that community so that way they can keep that clientele going and that support going. I think for us, that was one of the biggest things is, you know, where's our community of people who want to do business, who want to support and believe in that collaboration over competition?
I think you have to build your brand to the point where your community finds you.
And so when you just start now, you telling people to start their side hustle.
Right.
Like,
but figure out. So
who are they selling the plates to? Because they don't have no community yet.
Everybody is attached to social media. If you wake up tomorrow and be like, man,
I'm telling Coach Butler, so now I'm selling the plates on Facebook.
Got it. So you're going to market yourself in social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. Whoever sees your message that's in your community, like, oh man, you putting the plate. I'm gonna tell you, find the best picture of the plate that you can put up there. Cause some of y'all take some disgusting pictures of stuff and y'all think that stuff looks good. Lord. And it's like, man, please put the cover back on that container. That does not look good. But figure out somebody that can help you take a good picture. Be like, man, before you post that picture of that plate,
I'ma suggest, man, give the plate away to somebody for free.
Ooh.
Let them market it for you.
There you go.
And if they say it's good and I trust them, then I buy a plate. I'm just not gonna buy no plate off your picture, and I don't know what you're doing in your house.
Give your talent away so that way it can eventually get you paid.
I feel like I'm really doing the coaching and you just doing the preaching. Like, I'm telling you and you just like,
yeah, listen. You hitting the ball and I'm running the bases. We got it. All I'm saying is there is a group of people out there who were looking for your service. If you do braids and stuff like that, or you do hair and nobody knows you do hair,
you may have to do
somebody's hair.
show up you to may the appointment.
Right. You may have to show your talents first before you really start saying, I'm a charge.
I'm saying something different, and you just saying, yep. Let me read this comment. It says, you sell to everybody. Weed out the bad and keep the good until you have your community. I 100% agree with that, because I have a hard time with knowing, like, who is actually, like, for you and who is really for them. Does that make sense?
Everybody's against me, even you. I'm going to get a shirt that says, everybody's against me.
I think I've already seen a shirt, everybody against. Stop trying to make shirts.
They don't got even you on it.
You are not good with making shirts.
Just I done made a million shirts. I'm finna make some shirts.
We have decided that you can't make no plates. You can't make no shirts.
Oh, man.
You stick to grant writing. That's what you do.
Man, I got an old school lawnmower. I'm gonna cut some yards with one old school lawnmower.
Cut your own yard first.
You're not going to do that to you,
people
boy.
Try to go out there and be experts in things that they shouldn't be experts in. And that's the problem. That's why people can't find the community, because they try to be an expert knowing good and well that you do not have all the knowledge in that field. Don't do that. The same thing I'm talking about with them plates. Don't be out there doing that.
I'm going to watch cars to what you AutoZone. Know. Whatever. Stick I'm getting to what the bag. Know. I'm watching cars at AutoZone.
Everybody is at AutoZone. Everybody. Well,
I'm gonna make sure my AutoZone location is the best.
Selling something, or doing something. It is too many people at AutoZone. Don't go up there because it's full.
Whatever.
AutoZone is full.
We ain't doing that.
Find another location.
All right, I'm gonna figure out that hustle.
The point is, we talking about getting to the bag in the fourth quarter, not giving up, and pushing forward.
I don't know. You always said some people need to give up. You talking about some. They don't let them cook. Don't do this. Don't do that.
Don't do nothing that's not your expertise. If that's not what you're good at, don't do that.
People need to do something that ain't their expertise. I said, listen, if you told have a skill set.
If you're trying to learn to cook, cook you some plates.
I did say that inadvertently.
You did say that.
I shall retract that statement. If you've had more than your family members tell you that your food is good, then it might be okay for you to try to cook to the community.
Let's go back to you saying give your talent away.
Okay.
Because I do feel like if you give your talent away,
mm-hmm.
let's just talk about the plates. If you're a good cook and you give that plate to one to two people and they love what you did, then they are going to sing your praises. Let them go to social media for you. The same difference with if you want to be a lawn, I don't know, what you're going to push a lawnmower. Let somebody else talk about how great your lawn service is on social media. And I think that's a good way to find or have your community come to you, as you said. A lot of people don't agree with the give your talent away for free, though.
And that's why they ain't successful.
So would you give your talent away for free?
I have, and I do. Like right now, I haven't charged anybody for any type of grant information in the past, maybe year and a half, almost 2 years. But I'm still constantly giving out that game to people. People call me up all the time and be like, hey, man, I heard you do grants and stuff like that, man. Can you help me? And I walk them through the steps like, all right, where your business at? Let's go this. Randomly calling me on the drive home and stuff. And I may spend 30, 40 minutes just talking to somebody who I truly don't know, giving them the tools and the insights. And most of the time, I feel myself educating more than actually telling them how to get the grant. Like I'm educating them on their business that they didn't even know they had gaps in. So that way, when they get to that point where they are grant eligible or grant ready, now we're in a better place. We ain't around here faking data and trying to manipulate your business to look like something that doesn't exist. Like if you ain't produced the first dollar, why are we going after 10,000? Why are we going after $1 million grant? You don't have the infrastructure for that. Chill out. Oh man, you know, I got this dream where I want to make sure that all the pit bull puppies can sing the national anthem, and it's
you're
just my vision.
You don't
I'm
far.
Telling you.
Like, you don't went too
I,
far. Listen,
I get it. I went too far. That's an extreme analogy. Got it. All I'm telling you is that people come to me with some extreme stuff, and I'll be like, okay, how do you achieve that? Well, it's a dream. Okay, the hell with dreams. How do you quantify that? How can we put that on a sheet of paper and sell it to someone that wants to buy into this ideal of yours? I don't know. Well, then let's figure that out first.
So this comment says definitely not. You're telling everybody that they can use you and not value what you do. Very few will appreciate that. So I think that goes back to giving your your talent away for
your
free.
Your talent or your gift away?
Yeah.
You gotta define how you give it away. It has to be given away under your control. So when we say give your talent away, or give your gift away, let's say that you're cooking a plate, right? But go back to cooking.
And yeah, like we just not gonna leave this cooking alone.
Because that's the easiest way for me people to get to grasp the information. And you provide an additional side or an additional thing on top of that, right? That's what I mean by give your gift away. Sometimes it isn't necessarily, oh man, give the complete.
I mean,
thing
I feel
away.
Like Brandon described what he did. Brandon shot me who he said he went to David Shands. And I could be saying some names, so if y'all don't know them, I encourage you to look them up. I think they tell the story a lot. But Brandon was in the videography business, and I think he was shooting weddings, he said at the time.
He was doing a bunch of video stuff, videography things.
And David was an up-and-coming entrepreneur, and he went to David and he said, like, I want you to put me on. I want to do the video work for you. So that way I can help grow my brand. And then they sat down some type of meeting and they said, David said to him, what are you looking at getting out of this partnership? And Brandon says like, hey, I want to end up being a 7-figure entrepreneur once this is over. So you're now entering rooms that I can't get into and whatever that conversation looks like. But he worked with David for free for 2 years, I think he said.
He said he shot his content for him for 2 years for free. But it was more than just, I want to be 7 figures. It was like they had to truly niche down and define what the goal is, right?
I'm just giving high level, like, this is what it looks like. But the point is, he left that, and they're still, like, very good friends, but he left that situation as his own business owner who now does coaching, who now has his own clients. And that relationship with him giving away his gift, because that's what we're calling it, giving away his gift, launched his brand into another level that he would have never been in had he not created that relationship with David.
Right. But you also got to remember when we say give away your gift or...
I say give away your gift because Neo says give away your gift.
Fair enough.
We mean basically allow people to see what it is
right.
you do.
It's pretty much allowing people to see what it is you bring to the table. And it's not even necessarily you giving it away for nothing. You got to know that there's a end game with giving away your gift, right?
It's almost like a mutual use.
Right.
I use and, you, you use me.
And I'm perfectly fine with people utilizing me or using me to get to a goal and vice versa. I tell people all the time now when I walk in a certain space, like, hey, man, I want this to be a mutual type of a use. If I'm allowing you to be on the Boss Fest platform, the Boss Fest stage and things of that nature, I want to pull into your community and things of this nature. I want to tap into some of your resources. So. While you develop yourself in this way, this is what I'm looking to gain out of it this way. There may not always have to be a monetary exchange, but sometimes those connections built is me playing the long game. It's not me scoring a touchdown. It's me just getting a first down. And that's what I'm telling people to go after. Listen, go get first downs. The touchdowns will come. You'll start winning the game.
We're doing a lot of sports analogies, boy.
I am an athlete, even though you do not want to give me my athletic credit.
You have like done something athletic in like the last 10 years to call yourself an athlete.
Man, I power walked from my bed to the car.
No, sir.
It was very athletic. Sweat and all.
Give analogies that I'm going to understand.
You do understand it.
No.
Whatever.
All I'm saying is you are not an athlete. We don't have to keep talking about that space. I'm going back to the people who can't cook. Go back to that.
I'm going to keep talking about whatever space I want to. Listen, in Q4, we are not going to let the haters slow down our progress, right? Sometimes these haters, they think that you should move and act like them. The way you move is the way you move. Own it, believe in it, and allow it to move through you and grow your brand. Because your haters, even though they may be right beside you, listen. Them individuals gonna continue to hate whether you're doing good or you're doing bad.
I don't think haters hate when you're doing bad because I feel like haters like when you're doing bad. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm telling you that's what I think.
Haters don't hate when you're doing bad.
No, because they're happy when you're bad. Their haters hate when you're doing good.
No, haters hate at all times. Like, hate is hate. It feeds off energy. So it depends on how you respond to that energy. We watch a whole bunch of people and celebrities in spaces.
I'm going to need some backup on this. I don't understand.
You don't? What you talking about?
this comment says, if you don't have no haters, you ain't popping. Hashtag BossFest 2024. I feel that. I appreciate that. That's why haters don't hate when you doing bad, because you're not popping. You're not popping when you're doing bad. You don't fell off then. This comment says,
why you punching down?
So they feeling you. They
listen,
feeling
why you, as a hater, you like to hit people when they up so you can pull them back down to your level. And when they go below you, you like to punch them down so they don't get back to your level. Hate is hate, whether you up or whether you down. A hater gonna continue to hate. It comes in very different forms. So you just got to learn to navigate through it. I literally, as we were preparing for Boss Fest, and I started looking around at certain things, I'm like, man, God dang. Like, what is this commentary?
You started feeling some haters?
Listen, when there's information coming to me saying that, hey, man, the reason why I may not get in the room because other people are saying they may not want to be in the room or they don't see no value in it. Hey, man, if you're going to let them detract you, no problem.
Wait a minute. Rewind. I was reading this wonderful comment that says haters always hate in good or bad.
So they agree with me.
They do agree with you. The people agree with you. I read it, so mm-hmm. they agree with you. Let's rewind what you just said.
What I just said was when people, like I said, listen, as we were starting to get closer to the date of Boss Fest, I started to hear the hate that was coming at our way.
How did you hear this hate?
People told it to me.
Okay, so a specific person reached out to you and told you this.
Listen,
I just want to make sure I understand.
Yes, reach out to people and I have different conversations. And it's not no one particular person.
It's
several people who kind of reiterated the same thing, right? It was like, oh man, you know, no. The first thing they'll say when they were talking about Boss Fest is, I don't really know what it's about. Fair enough. We got to do better with presenting the marketing better, right? I can look at that as hate, or I can look at that as encouragement and know that I got work to do. So however that plays out, I got to learn from it. But then it's the other commentary that comes along with it, like, oh man, they don't want to do it because of this or that, or they think you're doing this or that. So these people don't want to go.
Wait a minute.
I don't know.
So we can't get the full sentence. We just get this or that.
Yes, we're going this
what?
And that. Yeah.
I had to rewind for that.
Yes. I don't know why you rewind it.
That was this like
ain't
nothing.
This ain't the format for that. We can talk about that all.
Oh, well, I like to get the tea.
No, the tea. Quit pretending.
I don't. This is my first time hearing this.
You are lying.
I do want to say Big Z said something on the podcast she was on, and it was like, I'm probably going to get it wrong, but it's basically like, use your hate as a way to elevate. And that rhymed, but that wasn't exactly what she said, but it was something along those lines. This comment says, just never let the hate distract you.
And there was no distraction. It was fuel. Because once I heard the hate, because like, I think subconsciously, we all feel like somebody's hating.
You said something. Somebody had told you something. And that stuck with you for like a couple days. So you saying you never let the hate distract you. But now that you're saying that out loud, I feel like there were a couple days where you were in a funk.
It wasn't that.
Okay.
Like, let's be transparent.
I'm being transparent. I'm putting it out there.
I hear you trying to put it out there, but you kind of make it seem like, hey, you out here.
I feel like a hater got to you. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
No.
Okay.
I process the information. Everybody processes things differently. So it's like, man, okay. Why would that information come about that way? Why would they say that? Why would someone say something to that person or create that type of energy out there in this space? So yes, it was pondering those things. Like, you know what? I'm doing something good. Let's keep grinding. But it wasn't nothing to hate. Like when you let hate anchor you down and you can't move forward, that's a different feeling. That's a different energy than, all right, I heard it.
Right.
I'm processing it. I gotta go.
But let's be
now.
Transparent. So we're talking about haters.
Oh my God.
And
you want this transparency.
I want to be transparent. Let me do me.
Yep.
So I'm on my transparent moment while you over there hating on me. When you say like you can't let haters get to you, in the moment of honesty that I want to have is when someone is speaking negatively on you in your spirit, I think we have to be honest and say sometimes that does bother you or move your spirit a little bit. Because when someone says something where I'm working really hard and they're like, like that's some BS, like that's trash. I can't not sit here and say, man, that don't affect me a little bit. It honestly does. Like, that's my moment of transparency. So we can say haters hate and whatever and use that fire to be, you know, use that to fuel you to be better. And eventually it does. But in the moment, it feels like a blow.
I'm not telling you not to use it or it can't move you. I'm telling you not to let it stop you or distract you. And yes, if you allow the hate to distract you where it now stops you, that's the problem. And a lot of people, as let's say you, because everybody has a New Year's resolution. Oh my God. Oh, this is going to be the year it all works out. Or this is going to be my year. Man, it's been some people years since 2020. Like, this is going to be my year. And they've been they still hadn't hit whatever their mark is. I stopped saying that crap, man. It's going to be my year when it's my year. But I'm going to make sure that every year moving forward.
Why every year can't be your year? Like, what does that even mean?
Listen, every year, it's like, you're going to see it. But right before the new year turns, oh, man, this is going to be my year. I feel it in my spirit. God going to bless me to have this seven-figure, eight-figure business, and it's going to do this and do that. Right, like, man,
but every year my year. I feel like every
year. But you ain't even made 10,000, but this is going to be the year you make
but
a seven.
That is a personal definition of what my year means. So I guess I can't get behind that because every year be feeling like my year, and it's just what I'm going after in that year. Like, if I would have said last year I was going to put my foot in South Africa, I ain't think that, but I did it. Man, this was my year. Like, I popped off. So I don't know what we're talking about. Like, I think it's all in the perception. So if you're reading it because someone posted it and they're like, oh, this is going to be your year and you ain't popped off yet, maybe that's not what they mean by that being my year. That's, you know, I'm just going to say
okay.
That.
We need some definition behind it, but I hear you.
But this comment says manifestation.
And manifestation is powerful. Like, if you say it enough times to yourself and you believe it and you start to talk and you start to, you know, visualize that, it absolutely can become true.
I don't want to be the person of just transparency over here because I'd be trying to manifest things. And maybe I need to go to a manifestation class because I wrote some things. Oh, shoot. The moment you realize that you manifested something and you didn't think it happened, and I'm like, dang, I think it did happen. But nonetheless, what I was going to say, is I was manifesting something, and like I read somewhere where you got to like write it down and put it under your pillow, and you got to like think about it and go to sleep with it. And I'm like trying like really hard to go to sleep with it. And then like I keep thinking about something else. I'm like, dang, no, you got to stay. This got to stay in your mind. I just don't feel like I'd be doing it right. That sound crazy? I just be like, I'm not doing it how they say you're supposed to do it.
I need somebody to show me. Manifestation. So,
but I just had a realization. I don't even know where that piece of paper went that I put under my pillow, but I just realized, dang, maybe that did happen.
So what was it that you wanted?
I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm still manifesting more things. Let me work within that
on
myself.
You're going to put that under your pillow too?
Okay, see, this comment said I'm overthinking it. And I guess I am overthinking it because when I saw the video, it was like, this is how you got to do it. And I just felt like it wasn't happening. So this is, it's hard, but you have to keep working towards it until it becomes reality, which makes sense. So that's what I do.
Maybe your manifestation didn't work because you didn't have the right type of pillow. You ever think of that? My bad. Okay.
Man, people be doing too much on the podcast, bro.
Just saying.
People be doing entirely too much. So I feel like as we get ready to like wrap this thing up, there is a lot of things for Boss Fest as we go, like changing for Boss Fest as we go into 2025.
Like, we're finna have a whole name change for our podcast. Oh,
we're about to change the name for the podcast. We are going to separate the event space and the podcast, which we're excited to actually do. We are going to hone in on our business. And one thing that I have to say is when we said this on the last podcast, when we were going into this Boss Fest and we sat down and we said, man, should we continue this or should we just say, look, it's not working out. Let's call it quits. And when we decided to press forward, we were like, just put it all out on the line. When we left Boss Fest, the people that said this was a really great experience, like it was my first time actually being able to watch a Boss Fest and like real, you know, as it happened. I've never actually seen it because I'm too busy doing, you know, whatever it is I'm doing. But the people that we're now meeting with, you know, a week to 2 weeks later, and I know there's been some delays because of the hurricane, the support though, the people that are actually saying, man, I see the vision. Like our meeting with Brandon yesterday, like poured life into me, and people who get on really large stages telling us, like, y'all got something, you got to keep going. Like those are the things that people need to hear in business, because you're just really one step away from like your goal. I always say you're one connection way away from the person you need to meet, but you just got to keep going. And we had that conversation, whether we should stop or we should keep going. And I'm very glad we did, because I'm excited what 2025 is going to bring for BossFest.
I don't know. I think I'm going to change my philosophy on that. You one step away. You one.
That's not your philosophy. That's mine. You one connection away from the connection you need to be. Connections, networking, put you in different spaces. People you surround yourself, put you in different places. You don't have to have you have your own thing. You put some stupid stuff on a shirt. I'm telling you what I'm doing.
You keep hating on me and my
shirt. You put whatever on a shirt. You can't even make a shirt. You do that. That's what you do.
Got it. I'm going to put all my stupid stuff on a shirt. We're going to run it. So, as we get ready to close out this podcast, everybody, what's your Q4 looks like, right? What it is that you wanted to achieve this year? Did you achieve it? Did you get the results? If you fell short, let's figure out what you can do to improve upon it going into Q1 of next year. But this is when you start making your New Year's resolution now. It isn't January 1st. Your New Year's resolution starts now. If you want to be in a better shape, you don't start January 1st, you start now. So that way, by the time January 1st come, you've already built a habit. But once you build a habit, it's easy to do. Doing this podcast every Wednesday, even in the midst of a damn hurricane, that was a habit. It was like, man, get our butts up, do the podcast. If the power goes out or the lights go out, the internet goes out, whatever, do the damn show. BossFest, it's the fourth year we have done this, the fourth event. It's now a habit. Going through the processes, lining up vendors, speakers, it's now become a habit. So it's no longer a point for us to even say, are we going to do it again or not? The question now is, how do we now grow this thing to the level where it can now sustain our lifestyle? And that's where we got to start taking this thing, figuring out how does it sustain the lifestyle? How do we bring it to the point where we are sought out and people see us as experts in something and working on that? And that's what you're going to see in 2025 is us developing our craft to become the experts.
It started good. It's getting a little shaky, but I'm buckling up and staying the course. God carry us and guide us through Q4.
Listen,
hello.
Listen, Big Z. If you ain't had your slay by ZK, you sleeping on yourself. If you got an event and you need someone to be on that stage and give energy to your room, Big Z is that host. I would tell you, like, watching her from her very first event, even though I didn't know it was her first event, to where she has became now. Listen, that is somebody that's working in their craft, right? Figuring out how you go navigate and build that brand. Continue putting that out there, Ma. You're going to do you. You're going to continue to be great. It's the holiday season. Everybody need to take holiday pictures. Man, put your Slay with ZK Christmas special up there.
She need a BossFest special.
And paint everybody damn face. I got some Crayolas and everything.
All right, you're doing too much.
Markers.
See how somebody be like starting something and it sound really good and then they go left and it just be doing too much for me. But
my bad.
Z, you need a BossFest special. Like, it's going to come together.
A Boss Up special.
I said BossFest.
Listen, man, I'm copywriting.
I don't want to deal with you. Y'all, we going to just cut it off because Kevin be doing too much and my nerves. I'm too old for this.
Oh, you old now?
Too old for your nonsense.
How old are you now? Since you now want to say you old.
So listen, we appreciate y'all tapping in with us. And until next week, we'll see y'all.